This week on Diverted.
I was always around football. I used to carry the players' boots. I remember when my grandfather would bring the Brazilian players and I would wash their boots and everything. So it's definitely, football is built and stored in my DNA.
In episode 6, we're going to Central America and we'll be taking you to a Belizean Premier League game. We'll be visiting the basketball-obsessed highlands of Guatemala.
You need to have a name model that people support. Like, for instance, basketball, you have LeBron James. It starts like that. You have to find good players so that you can sell it to the public so they can come out and support.
And we will experience firsthand the 2 minutes and 58 seconds where it looked like Costa Rica were going to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup.
I am once again embracing my new brothers.
What are you doing?
Creating chaos.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jamara, first off, the Super Value deal with the GAA, it's fantastic to see it extended. They've done tremendous work across the years that they've been involved.
Yeah, it's tremendous work there. Speak from my own perspective. Always felt welcome in the GAA, the community-wise, and then obviously I've come from a mixed race background there. My father, he's African-American, my mother's from Ireland, Fork Hill, mm-hmm. So he would have been immersed in the GAA as soon as he came here. Would have coached basketball around the school, and he got in the GAA through that. But he stayed in the GAA, he's coached right through club level, and he's helped out with the development squad as well, so it's sort of his community now, like, so that's how I got in the GAA, because of him. And obviously my mom's side of the family, they would play GAA, but since he pushed me through that, it was sort of that community that kept him there, and he just absolutely loves it now.
Do you think it's easier now for mixed race people to be involved in GAA, or people from different backgrounds and different nationalities, compared to when you were coming up?
Yeah, it definitely is, probably, but I didn't really think too much about it. I just played the sport I loved, and probably because my ma's brothers played. But my dad, he's just a really good personality, and he'd mix with anyone, so didn't really matter the colour of your skin. It was just going out to play a game you really enjoyed then. Yeah.
Have you recovered yet from the weekend?
Yeah, it was a great game. Thought Throne had us only for them last couple of minutes, but it's very intense. It's still early in the year, and we'll probably just be focused on this Ulster final now. So.
What's your thought process then when Rory Grogan standing over, like, with the ball in his hand, put the ball over the bar to win it? You think you can't miss it from there?
Don't miss him there, but I've seen the miss before. Rory's not going to miss him there. He's so accurate. It was only a tap over free, but still in the back of your mind, you're just really hoping it goes over then.
What's the most pleasing thing overall about the win?
Probably just the way we remained calm when the chips were down. We don't think we scored for maybe 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Tyrone had us under the pump, and we sort of just kept it cool, kept composed, got our players in the right positions, and thankfully we got the scores and got that free at the end.
And you made a big impact off the bench as well when you came on.
Yes, I done all right. The likes of Soupy Campbell was absolutely flying. That score was unbelievable. Him and Conor Herbert. Come on, Conor Herbert got the score and got the free at the end. Cian McCallum as well had a good impact, and Shane McPartland too. So I think all of us made that bit of an impact. Like, and could have been any other lads on the bench there too. There's a lot of quality on that bench that still didn't play. So. Could have been any of us.
And what's the thought process then when you're coming into such a pressure cooker situation? You just get on the ball, get that first pass off, and just settle the nerves a little bit?
Yeah, it probably just depends on the situation then. Probably come down to them last 5-10 minutes when you're trying to get that score. You're being calm, you're being composed, you're not making any rash decisions. You're trying to get a 100% shot. So, and that's what we done. We got our shooters on the ball, got the boys who's good in them situations, and thankfully it worked for us on that day.
I know you're All-Ireland champions, but how much does becoming Ulster champions drive you on? Because as you were saying a while ago, like, you came so close the last couple of years.
So close the last couple of years. It's only really kicked the ball in of it, obviously, in penalties. But just have to knock it down for this next game, and Donegal probably going in favourites. They've already beat us in the league, and they beat us a good few times last year. So we're just going to have to knock it down, and hopefully we do ourselves justice on the day.
You've obviously seen them up close and personal. What impresses you most about them as a team?
They're probably the way they can mix it up. Their physical side, they can run the ball, they can kick the ball, their kickouts are unbelievable as well. So they've so many options scoring wise, as I said there, that their cornerbacks can score, their full forwards and midfielders, boys off the bench as well, make serious impact. So yeah, we're just going to have to watch everyone and just be really dialed in for the whole game, the full 70 minutes.
And as All-Ireland champions, there's obviously a target on your back this year.
Yeah, I'd say that there probably is, but that All-Ireland sort of thing's nearly gone now. It's a new championship starting now in a couple of weeks, so we've put that to bed and we're at the bottom of the pack now. I'd say there's about 10 teams there that think they can win it now, so we're just going to have to keep pushing on, knuckle down and keep pushing ourselves, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously we're recording this before the draw is made, but it's such a wide open championship and the quality is just so good.
Oh, the quality's good there. Like, say all teams, like right off from Cork, the Roscommon, the Monaghan and all, I think they can probably push and get the quarterfinals, semi-finals, even the final there. So you just don't know. And especially seeing Meade beating Dublin there on any given day, especially with the two-pointers. Teams go for it and kick them two-pointers, it creates that big gap. And it's very hard to come back from that sometimes as well.
I was going to say, how are you enjoying the new rules?
Yeah, I'm really liking them. I'm liking the three up. I just think it creates more space for forwards. More creativity, more respectable with the two-pointers as well. You know, you can be 10 points up and then they claw a league back. It's sort of like being 5 points up. So, and solo and go is good as well. It speeds up the game. And you can just continue with the play and bring that energy that you had before.
Do you think you'd change?
No, I'm happy enough with the rules. I'm really enjoying them. Not really. I'm not that fussy.
All right, my very best luck for the summer ahead.
Thanks very much. Yeah.
All right, Niall Scully, how are you, sir?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for talking to us. First off, the association that Super Value have with the GAA, it's been a fantastic, I suppose, partnership, and it's going to continue for another 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the branding of Super Value and the GAA probably has become a lot closer, and when you look into the GAA, Super Value is probably one of the brands that you recognise while speaking about it, and vice versa. I know from an individual perspective, when you're going to Super Value, you kind of relate to a lot of stuff in relation to the GAA about it.
Not easy for you today, I'd imagine, coming down here to do several interviews talking about what happened last weekend.
Yeah, look, come here. As I've said already, we as a group are usually disappointed with the result from the weekend. But again, we've had a couple of days to kind of reflect and to see what was going on. And I suppose from my own personal opinion, getting to watch the game back, we can have no complaints. I think Meade were probably the better team on the day, and we just didn't perform in the closing moments of the game. You know, we were just turning the ball over and probably had a bit of poor decision making. And to be fair to me, they punished us in the first half and they held on to that lead then in the second.
I know they had a strong breeze in the first half as well, didn't they? That obviously didn't help you.
No, absolutely. But we've played against breezes like that throughout the National League and against Wicklow in the first round. So it wouldn't have been an excuse, and we would have known an hour before the game that wind was there.
It's all about the response. That's how you recover from this, I guess.
Absolutely. Like that, we know we have what's in the group, what it takes. So again, we have an important 3 or 4 weeks coming up, and we will reflect, we'll review the Meade game. But then after that's done, it's very much so moving past that and looking at the next avenue that we're going into.
And you say you've watched it back. When you watched it back, what was your biggest takeaway from the Dublin performance, and what needs to improve for the next day?
Come here, there was loads of improvements. I think we probably, as I said, already said, we probably had a lot of turnovers that were unforced and that probably didn't need to happen. Mm-hmm. And we were giving the ball back to Meade, and they were obviously creating their scoring opportunities. So we're going to have to clean up in terms of that. And then the shooting efficiency will probably be another aspect that needs to be had a look.
I suppose a few obituaries might be written about you following last weekend's performance. Does proving the doubters wrong, I guess, motivate you?
Not really. Look, I have to be honest, like the media side of things and as a group, it's not something that we're going to be focusing on 100%. Them conversations will be going on, but for us, that's external conversations. That's not something that's going to impact us or help us move past what has gone on. So look, them things will definitely be going on, but internally we won't be focusing on anything like that.
It's the first time in 15 years that Dublin haven't been involved in a Leinster final. It's going to be, I suppose, weird not preparing for Leinster final weekend.
Definitely. Look, it's something new and something different for me. But again, as I said, what we'll do is review the Meade game, and again, we'll look at it from an angle of it's going to be an exciting 3 or 4 weeks. The group stages are obviously going to be coming up. we're more than likely going to be in a tough group. So that's something exciting to look forward to for us.
Yeah, I was going to say you'll be third seed heading into that draw. It hasn't taken place yet as we're talking, so it's going to be a tough group no matter what happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, again, regardless, the last kind of 2 years, we've been in tough groups. We've had two tough groups in the Super 8s as well. You're going to have to play the teams at your level at this stage of the competition. So it is something we will get to look forward to. We'll be on the road for a couple of games as well, which will be exciting for us as players and us, the Dublin supporters as well.
How are you finding the new rules?
Yeah, I have to say I'm quite fond of them, and like most of them, I think, as I've already said, maybe a year or two ago, and the old rules, the game was becoming quite lethargic, quite slow, quite boring, and I say that as a player playing the game and then watching the game as well was becoming a bit more difficult. The new rules have definitely speeded it up. As I said, inside a 10-point win or a 10-point half-time result isn't necessarily a big lead anymore, but come here, it's definitely speeded up the game. It's a lot more enjoyable as a spectator. All the games have been a lot closer, but again, maybe a couple of tweaks, and I think we'd be looking at that we're in the right direction.
Yeah, I spoke to Jamar and Killian there. They said the 3-up rule was their favourite of the new rules. Is that your favourite? Which one would be your favourite?
I'd say it's probably the one that has the most impact in terms of the changes from last season into this season. You're defending your own goal with 11 players, so there's a lot more space, where previously you probably would have had 29 players inside a 45 metre space, so you know yourself it's quite difficult to find opportunities to score goals and to score points. So the 3-up, the solo and go, definitely you see it being used a lot, and again, as I said, speeds up the game. We don't have really any more people staying on the ground or going backwards with the ball. It's more so up and at it. And Jesus, what are the rest of them?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Hard to keep track of all of them. And you said you tweaked some of them up. What would be the ones you'd be tweaking?
Yeah, look, I think the kick out one is probably something that I potentially have a look at. I think now with the real changes of the three up and the four back. A short kick out now means that the opposition can press that because it's really man on man. They can't go back to the keeper with it. And I think what we're probably seeing now is just all the kick outs being very one dimensional and just being sent long. Again, that's obviously what they were looking to do, but I think as an overall kind of looking at that, it's a lot of it is breaking ball, a lot of it is dirty ball, more so than the high field and that was being looked for. Even potentially, if the opposition kick a wide, you can kick a short kick out. If they kick a score, you have to kick it outside the arc. Just something to kind of make it a bit more fluid would be okay.
Excellent. Niall, thanks very much. Best of luck for the summer ahead.
Thanks very much.
Killian, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Good to meet you. I suppose first off, the Super Value partnership with the GAA, it's fantastic, and they've had a tremendous, I suppose, association with the association over the years.
Yeah, 100%. You know, they've a very good relationship with the GAA, and look at the signs around here and the beautiful Super Value Park we've today.
Have you played here before?
No, I haven't. Yeah. No, I've been. We played a league game here last year, or no, 2 years ago. Sorry, but I wasn't playing. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just looking back to that Roscommon game, what pleased you most about that performance?
I think from start to finish, it was just an all-round good performance. You know, I think we did well on kickouts. Didn't have many turnovers. You know, took right options in front of goals. Defended pretty well, you know, all round we're happy with it. So yeah, it was a good, it was, you know, second game of the championship, so it was good.
What do you need to work on, do you think?
Still everything, I suppose. Yeah, like there's lots to work on. Okay, every day will be different and the competition will be different every day, so you know, no doubts Mayo will play a different way to Roscommon. So look, the parts of the game will still be the same, you know, basics, like I said, kickouts, turnovers, all that stuff. It's just trying to do it better every day, I suppose.
It's your 10th consecutive Connacht final. That shows you the standards that have been set, I suppose, in Galway football.
Yeah, I think look, I'm not sure if anyone on our panel has probably been involved in all 10, but in the last couple of years, you know, we've got a good team together, a bit of consistency in our team, so we can just kind of beat what's in front of us every day. And look, we've been lucky that Winning games each year has kind of got us this far. Yeah,
you obviously know Mayo quite well and intimately at this point. What impresses you most about them as a team?
Mayo, very very hard team to play against. Very high press and high energy. Some very good forwards. mixture of speed, physicality. Like they have it all, you know, like they're top of Division One. Have been on the business end of most championships over the last 10 years themselves. So there's a lot of good parts to their game. And they'll be very difficult to beat this weekend.
It's not hard to get motivated to play them in a Connacht final, though, isn't it?
No, look, they're probably one of our biggest rivals in Connacht. I think we've rivalries with every team in Connacht, but we kind of seem to play against Mayo a lot. So yeah, they're a big rival.
How much is, I suppose, the pain of last year kind of motivating you and pushing you forward to this year?
It is, yeah. Still, look, we lost the final, obviously, so that's difficult to deal with, but you kind of play that and you review it and you park it and you move on. And look, there's plenty of games around the league this year even that disappointed us how we performed, so we're still, you know, every day you go out you're just trying to perform better than the day before.
It's obviously the first year with the new rules. How are you finding them?
Good, yeah. It's opened the game up. I think they're doing what they're supposed to do and whatever wants them to do. Look, we've embraced them, just get on with it, and each time, I suppose, a new update comes out or something's changed, you just have to adapt and get on with it to stay competitive with the best teams out there.
What's been the biggest change, I think? Which one has had the most impact?
I think keep three up, I suppose, is the best thing. Look, I think every team in the country was guilty of bringing everyone behind the ball if you're trying to defend a lead, and why would you not? So you just kind of have to, you know, you have your 11 players behind the ball or outfield players, and everyone's just trying to figure out the best way to defend a lead, I suppose, late in the game. So that's been exciting, and you pick up learnings every day from every different team. So that's been a challenge.
Is there anything you'd change?
No. I think it's been pretty good so far. Look, I wouldn't have thought of some of the rule changes they've brought in. Even like some of the respect and the dissent rules have been excellent, and they probably slipped under the radar at the start. Everyone was focused on what happened, you know, in play with the players. So that's been great. Nothing I change. I don't have the imagination for it.
We're obviously speaking here before the draws made for the All-Ireland Championship. I just spoke to Jamara there and he was saying it's a wide open championship. There's so many good teams there this year.
Yeah. There is. Look, I'd say there's 10 or 12 teams that think they can win the championship. You know, we've been that team a couple of years ago who were in Division 2, making it to a final. Armagh the same, and Dublin the same a couple of years ago. So look, there's nobody is out. I think, you know, you're going to need a little bit of luck along the way with selection or form or injuries and stuff to stay up there. But I think everyone thinks they can win it, which is great.
All right, Sarah, first off, the Super Value deal with the GAA, it's fantastic, and you see Super Value over your jersey there as well. They've done fantastic work for the GAA.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just the visibility and the support.
For the video.
Yeah. What are you going to ask me about?
Just football stuff.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Do you want to look at the question?
Yeah.
It's all very basic. It's all fucking standard. Yeah. Yeah, sure, look.
Yeah, I'll translate anyway.
All right, Sarah, first off, the Super Value deal with the GAA, it's fantastic, and you see Super Value over your jersey there as well. They've done fantastic work for the GAA.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just the visibility and the support, it means so much to us, and it makes such a huge difference to the girls and the team.
Talk to us about the year you've had so far.
So we were delighted to get to the league final and to be, you know, promoted back to Division 1. That was one of our biggest goals this year. Obviously, we were unsuccessful in the final, but you know what, we learned so much from the game, and you know, going forward to Championship, it was probably the best preparation that we could have had. It's coming together nicely, and we're happy with how it's going so far.
What was the biggest takeaway, I suppose, from that defeat to Galway, and what do you have to work on?
So I suppose we had a great first half, but then, you know, things declined rapidly then in the second half. So, you know, I suppose just to be consistent and, you know, not to let the game run away from us.
I suppose you had 6 wins in 7 games, so you must be happy with the way things have gone overall, I guess.
Yeah, overall, yeah. No, it was quite positive, you know, and every game we learned a lot from it. So we've got that bit of confidence, I suppose, going forward now. So far, so good.
We heard Hannah just speak inside there about this Cork team. I suppose it's a new panel. I suppose there's a bit of a bedding in period, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, new panel, lots of, you know, younger girls, newer girls to the panel, new management and stuff like that. But I think the league has been ideal for us to get to know each other, to bond, and for the group to continue integrating, you know, on and off the field. So it's been going quite well.
Joe Carroll, in the aftermath of that defeat to Galway, said you need to bring the game to the next level. What does that entail for Joe?
I suppose that's just, you know, intensity at training and stuff, and, you know, to replicate the kind of match intensity at training as well, so that we can get used to it. And obviously, you know, Munster Championship is so such a high standard, so it's just getting up to that intensity, I think, and pace.
And it's a big job as well for Joe in rebuilding this panel and getting them up to All-Ireland standard, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Joe has experience with a lot of us, you know, underage and like with college. He trained UCC for two, three years now, so it is a big job, but so far so good. You know, the group is really happy, and there's a really competitive but positive environment at training.
Obviously the Munster Championship is underway. Defeat to Kerry, not ideal for the opening game. But what did you learn from that game?
Well, it was actually the other way around now. We had a poor first half and a good second half.
Let's combine the two. So,
yeah, if we could combine the two going forward now. You know, there was lots of positives, but obviously we conceded, whatever, 111, and, you know, we were struggling to score up front in the first half. But we improved in the second half. It's just trying to get that now for the full game.
Yeah, and what are you expecting now from Tipperary this weekend?
So we've lots of experience playing Tip, so we know it's going to be a challenge. Obviously we're focusing on ourselves and, you know, based off our game against Kerry, so hopefully now we can just get a full, you know, 60 minute performance out of the team.
I suppose it's about getting the support of the Cork public behind you as well. That's always a massive help.
Absolutely. There was a big crowd at our Kerry first championship this week, and it makes such a difference. You know, the girls were even saying, you know, that boost coming on at half time, it does make the difference, you know, especially when you're coming back from, you know, being, you know, losing the game. It does make a huge difference for the morale and, you know, the boost that we needed.
Yeah. And for yourself as captain this year, how are you finding that role?
I'm finding it really good. I'm lucky that I've trained under some fantastic captains with Cork, and, you know, I'm really close with all of the girls, so it's quite, you know, they're making that bit easier for me, but so far so good. I think just to keep it positive as possible, and ensure that everyone's happy.
And would you be one now for big speeches before matches, or are you kind of just more letting people out?
Think, you know what, we've so much leaders on the team, so I like to I suppose hand around the speeches, but yeah, no, I do enjoy a good talk.
Hannah, how are you?
Good, not too bad now.
Good to see you. It's a fantastic day here at Super Value Park at Cueve, and a great day to see Super Value extend their association with the GAA.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic, and it's brilliant to have it down in Cork rather than up in Dublin and Croke Park. So great to get all these faces down here, and as you said, a lovely day for it. But yeah, I think Super Value are just such a huge sponsor, and you know what they hold so value to them is that community includes everyone, and you know, that's what the GAA is. So I think the GAA and Super Value just go hand in hand together, so it's great to have them back on board.
Yeah, you're speaking there in the panel about being a dual player, and I suppose you're one of a dying breed now at the moment, so how are you finding to combine the two, and how are you finding it this year?
Yeah, like, you know, people ask me that a lot, or like, why do I keep going back or whatever, but like, it is just genuinely a love for it. You know, like, if you're an outsider looking in, it might be a lot easier to just pick Camogie and go with that, because that's more successful at the moment. But, you know, I really do have a love for football, and a love for, you know, I suppose football would have been my first sport growing up in Ahada and whatnot, and, you know, just a real draw for the team. And, you know, there is the potential there to win in All-Ireland, there always is. So, you know, it is challenging keeping the two on the road, especially with the split season and the condensed fixtures. But, you know, Joe, Carol and Ger are working together, and, you know, if we can just keep it going and keep fit and healthy.
And avoid fixture clashes as well, which would be ideal.
I know. Yeah.
You're going for three in a row on the Camogie. You spoke kind of very openly there in the discussion about wanting to win that three in a row and how much it's driving you on this year.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's personal opinion. Maybe I should keep it to myself, but it is something that I'm after, and it is something that's important to me to win three in a row, and it does motivate me and it does drive me on. Other people will have different aspects or different views or different motivations. Other people will want to talk about it, other people won't want to talk about it, but at the end of the day, I'm talking to you here about it, but I won't talk about it again now till August in the camp. As I said, you know, for us it's every training session, it's every championship match. You know, I think this year especially, like the last couple of years, the competition for places is just out of this world. So if you're not training hard, if you're not putting in the work on off the field and on match day, you're not going to be a part of that team. So, you know, that's my first protocol is to keep on that team, to be honest with you. But it is something that's very important to us, and if we keep going after it, look, hopefully we'll see what'll happen in August.
I was going to say there's a big target on your back going for a three in a row, but there's a target on your back regardless. I mean, like, you went in as the All-Ireland champions last year as well.
Yeah, it is, and like, that's what probably does that. That's what comes with being from Cork, I suppose, you know, or the successful teams that have gone before us. So, you know, it is a lot harder when you're the person being hunted. You know, it's a lot easier when you're trying to get there, but when you're on top, and staying on top is also always the hard thing. But at the end of the day, when we go training, we're not thinking about that. We're thinking about how we can be better as players, how we can be better as a team. And as I said, you know, the competition is so fierce inside the camp that you can't really worry about what's going on outside.
You spoke as well in the panel about, I suppose, the two panels being in separate places, the Cork kind of Camogie team more established going for All-Ireland titles, whereas there's a rebuilding process going on with the footballers. You spoke to Sarah there and she said there's a fantastic buzz though in the Cork ladies football panel at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It is a great camp, and like, you know, whatever about, you know, going back to Jewel, I wouldn't be there if there wasn't a good camp and a good support system and good players and good people, because whatever you win, whatever the success is, it, at the end of the day, it's the people that you do it with. So it is, you know, as I said, we are really, really hunting rather than than being hunted, as I said, in Camogie. But I personally think the ladies football championship is wide open. So there's a lot we have to do, there's a lot we have to learn, there's a lot we have to get right. But if we keep going on that buzz and keep clicking together, you know, who knows what will happen at the latter end of the championship. And I firmly believe we are all Ireland contenders, and I wouldn't be there if I didn't believe that.
Yeah, it was a good league campaign, 6 wins out of 7. I know you came undone against Galway in the final, but still a good start to the year.
Yeah, it was, and look, it was challenging being in Division 2. I guess, you know, you want to be in Division 1 playing against the best teams, but look, the target was to get back up to Division 1, and we did achieve that. So I think the real work starts now. Champion football, the best teams, like, look, we lost to Kerry last weekend. You know, there's a lot of changes, a lot of injuries, a lot to work on. But, you know, I think we'll build from that and we'll go again. If we can get a win against Tipperary, that'll be great. That's our next focus, you know. So it's always looking forward.
And we're here at Super Value Park. What's it like playing here?
Yeah, it is. It is a great experience to always play here. And I think we're extra privileged in Camogie this year. I wouldn't say privileged. I think it should be standard that we're playing here, to be honest. Point. But it is. It's fantastic surface. It's a fantastic ground. My big call out would be, could we get more people in seats and supporting us, and, you know, call out to Páirc Uí Chaoimh to and the GAA to make sure that we're playing here as much as possible. You know, we were playing, let's say our football game was down in Clodagh, which is a fantastic setup and a fantastic place, and we do train there, so no complaints on that end. But, you know, let's play in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, let's play in Páirc Uí Ring as much as possible.
Yeah, because if you're playing in the best of facilities, there's no reason to say, oh, sure, I couldn't go down to Clodagh to watch the game. But like, if you're here at Super Value Páirc Uí Chaoimh, then more people will come.
Yeah, hopefully. And like, let's promote it. And, you know, I suppose, like, if I'm being honest, if you look back at, you know, we did have a doubleheader, Cork v Clare, first round of Munster Championship. And, you know, it is still disappointing to see, while there is a good crowd there, but there's people who are coming in after the match, or people who you might meet coming out of the stadium that are like, oh, do you win, or how'd you get on? You know, so it's like, look, it is what it is. So I'm not going to fix it here. We're not going to fix it here. But, you know, I suppose if there's a message to people, just to encourage, you know, if you've daughters, bring them to the Camogie match, not just the hurling match, bring them to the football match.
Because it makes a difference.
It does make a huge difference. And it makes a huge difference, not just for our team, but for the development of the game. So, yeah.
Excellent, Hannah. Thanks very much. Best luck for the summer.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Milan.
Thanks, Milan.
This week on Diverted.
I was always around football. I used to carry the players' boots. I remember when my grandfather would bring the Brazilian players and I would wash their boots and everything. So it's definitely, football is built and stored in my DNA.
In episode 6, we're going to Central America and we'll be taking you to a Belizean Premier League game. We'll be visiting the basketball-obsessed highlands of Guatemala.
You need to have a name model that people support. Like, for instance, basketball, you have LeBron James. It starts like that. You have to find good players so that you can sell it to the public so they can come out and support.
And we will experience firsthand the 2 minutes and 58 seconds where it looked like Costa Rica were going to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup.
I am once again embracing my new brothers.
What are you doing?
Creating chaos.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.